Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Time now for headlines as we predict what will happen on Sunday as the Packers take on the Vikings at Lambeau Field.
Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher.
I'm going to do something crazy.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison.
I'm going to say kissing cousins. Pack bikes tie.
And celebrating 10 great years on ESPN Wisconsin.
He missed it again! And we'll end this crazy game in a tie. Oh my goodness.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch. It's Jesse and Tausch for the
you
time being.
You know how to step in it. I think, and yeah. We love Steinhoffels. They have been a partner from the jump. We're so excited about them celebrating 10 years with us, a great Wisconsin company forever. I'm pretty sure the person that Homer spoke that quote about, because I've used that quote because it's, in the 10 years, maybe one of my all-time favorite
quotes. It is one of the greatest quotes ever uttered on our show.
I think you got this wrong.
And I don't think I do, and I don't think our fans think I do because of the amount of people who are texting in about
this player. Yeah, but you're kind of stuffing it down by saying defensive lineman, 4 seasons, 10 starts. Like, that's the quote I believe you're accrediting is to the wrong player.
I don't think so. I believe I have this right.
Well, I'm going to put Tony. TC is, I think, going to go on this because
you're going to have him go back to 2019 or whatever this was said.
Because Homer's not going to remember the quote. I know that for certain.
Oh, I think he will. I don't think he'll remember who he said it about.
Well, that's my point.
Yeah.
He'll remember that quote, but I think you got this wrong.
Well, I appreciate you having my back here. That's very
nice
of you.
Well, I'm just trying to be
real team effort around here on Wilde
and Tausch.
What
do you want me to do, lie?
Yeah, I'd like for you to lie. I'd like for you to say, I understand that maybe I remember this a little differently, but I'm going to be on board with this, and we'll figure it out afterwards.
I haven't rubber stamped this as like I'm 100% right. I feel very confident that I'm right, and I'm very confident that you're wrong, but I'm not rubber stamping it and saying it's 100%.
When you got in the huddle as a professional football player for a decade and a play call came in and you heard it, did you instantly go, ooh, I don't know about that one? Or did you say, all right, we'll do it. I don't know if it's going to be our best play, but we're going to go out and run it.
When we're going through and there's some conceptual things that I don't think are accurate, I made sure to point those out. Yes. We had a play where we would... If the defensive lineman crossed my face, they wanted me to pass that off. And then if the one linebacker came, it was opposite of everything we did from a foundational standpoint. It was if this guy crossed my face, I stuck with him on this protection. Well, what we needed to do then was adjust because people started scheming to do that because they knew that was our protection. So we had to make an adjustment. And I thought, this is kind of crazy because you could easily just have the guard stay in there. I could pass that off and do it. Instead, I would take that and then the guard would belly out. I didn't think that was the best use of what we were doing. So instead of me just sitting there saying, oh, shucks, well, that's what they want. You have the conversation. The coaches make the final call. That doesn't mean they're always right. And by the way, coaches like having input from players. You should want this input from me.
I went back and I looked at different sleepers. Again, this is all in the spirit of the Steinhoffel sleepers of the last 10 years. So we go back, we find players over the 10 years of this show that have been selected as Steinhoffel sleepers of the week. This
and
player,
by the way, you're putting in good effort, and this would have been easy. If you don't add that quote, there's no question that this is right, what you're saying.
But if I don't add the quote, then the clue becomes a lot more ominous, and you'd have to try and figure out who this is by some other different type.
But when you give a quote like this and it's not attributed to the right person, that makes it very muddy.
But you're only basing this on what you think it is. No, I'm very confident that this is the player that this quote
that
was said about.
I don't think you're that confident.
I was 100% confident coming into this, and I am now 98% confident, but I'm still very, very, very confident.
If you're wrong, what's the punishment?
I don't know. What do you want my punishment to be if I'm wrong?
I don't want to get crazy, but I think you have to end up doing what you brushed yet.
Washing a car.
In your Speedo.
No, that was never even part of the agreement with Bruss.
That is what your thing with Bruss was.
No, he made that part of it after he won. That wasn't even part of it going into this. No, I'm not washing more cars in less attire than anyone wants to see me in.
That's fair.
No. 844-770-3776. Again, your way to text your guess for the Steinhoffel sleeper of the last 10 years with a very accurate clue, which is being shared, again, on our Wildy and Tausch social media platforms and here on our video stream on our YouTube channels and on Twitter and Facebook. Text in your guess. I'm sure you're going to get it right because everybody knows who's been around what player we're talking about.
When Jason comes back from his outdoor interview, and I've used that air quotes, of Matt LaFleur, is he going to agree with me or agree with you?
I think he's going to agree with me because I believe I'm right. And I think he'll remember and I'll be right.
All right.
Time now for trivia. We have totally blown past the really fun Power Rankings Tuesday that I wanted to do. Maybe we'll do it when Jason joins us from practice because, as he said last year, nothing really happens at these practices. So there may not be a ton for him to share with us. So we'll save Power Rankings for a later point in the show. Time now for trivia. It is presented by Cousin Subs and Vortex Golf. 844-770-3776 is your number to get in to play Wildy and Tausch Trivia. 844-770-3776, caller number 8 to play trivia. Today's category, Oakland, Sacramento, or Las Vegas? In honor of the Athletics. 844-770-3776. Oakland, Sacramento, or Las Vegas? Caller 8 right now plays trivia. 844-770-3776. Wildy and Tausch Trivia coming up next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Fans in the YouTube comments, the dwellers, as I affectionately call them, have noticed that you appear to be a little confrontational today.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
So I'm going to take all of your critique of our Steinhoffel sleeper of the last 10-year contest with a little bit of a grain of salt, because you were getting after the Athletics at the start of the show for the dimensions of their baby stadium. You were getting after Evan a little bit. You're getting after Jason.
I was getting after Evan. Yeah, Evan said I had a low energy response.
I feel like I'm just
to an open it to a closed question. You don't ask closed questions. You know that.
Jason will rejoin the show shortly after Matt LaFleur speaks in front of the hedges out at Packers mandatory minicamp practice this morning. Jason's scheduled to appear with us again coming up next in Green Bay. In the meantime, it is time to play Wildy and Tausch Trivia presented by Cousin Subs and Vortex Golf.
Wildy and Tausch Trivia is presented by Vortex Golf, rangefinders you can bet on, and by Cousin Subs. Have a grad to celebrate? Purchase $30 in Cousin Subs gift cards and receive a free 7.5-inch sub. Cousin Subs, they believe in better.
And it's a good day for Jason to not be here for Wildy and Tausch Trivia because look who's back. Mike the Wedding DJ!
No.
Yeah. Sure is. Good morning, Mike. How you doing?
Good morning, Jesse. Good morning, Tausch.
Good morning.
Mike, is there anything you'd like to say addressing how last week's interaction went on this show?
Yeah,
speaking of people who were a little grumpy, it seemed like things did not go particularly pleasantly when you were with us last week. Anything you'd like to say on that front while Jason's not here?
I tried to make a joke about Homer's salary being as big as Watson's new contract. It fell flat. Jason took it the wrong way. Jesse, you know I had no problem waiting on hold because of the breaking news and because of Homer the GOAT. I had no problem waiting for you to call me back. So I don't have a beef with Jason. He's got a beef with me.
He definitely has
a moron. I don't think he's a moron.
He's definitely got a beef with you. There's no doubt.
Well,
that's not a bad thing.
I don't have a beef with him.
Yep. That's what Mike McCarthy always says.
Conflict is good, yeah. You can disagree without being disagreeable.
Correct.
The trivia category for you this morning, Mike the Wedding DJ, in honor of the Brewers facing the Athletics, Oakland, Sacramento, or Las Vegas?
Boy, I think he's going to answer all of these without the choices because he knows all the
choices. He knows. Yeah, and he's a baseball
guy.
He's
very good, too.
I think he is part of our Trivia Tournament of Champions, which kicks off this Thursday. Mike, question number one is this. Which of these cities has most recently been the official location listed in the name of the Athletics franchise? Oakland, Sacramento, or Las Vegas?
Well, officially it's Sacramento. B.
No.
What?
Really?
That's wrong.
I thought it was Oakland also.
No.
Oh, no, it is Oakland.
What? It's Oakland.
Yeah.
Mike said Sacramento. They have never changed their name to be the Sacramento Athletics. They have been playing their home games in Sacramento, but they have only called themselves the Athletics during that tenure. They have most recently been known as the Oakland Athletics.
That's a tricky question. For question one, Mike, I would put a steward's inquiry.
Nice job, Jesse.
That was tricky.
Hey, Jesse got me.
I thought you were going to easily come away with that one.
All right. Man. Which of these cities does not have a professional sports team with a nickname that is also the name of a playing card? Interesting. Is it Oakland, Sacramento, or Las Vegas?
Of a playing card. Oh, okay. So you've got the Sacramento Kings. You've got the Las Vegas Aces. So it's the other one.
There you go, Mike.
He's back.
Back on the train. Oh, that was a fun question.
Jason is texting. He's pulling for you. He is all in on you being successful here, Mike. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cool. He was celebrating Jesse tricking me on the first
time. I'm sure he was.
Question number three, Mike the Wedding DJ. According to... Tausch is going to probably second guess this one, too, because it involved me doing research. According to official U.S. Census estimates for 2025, census.gov, where this information was pulled from last night, which of these cities is estimated to have the largest current population? Oakland, Sacramento, or Las Vegas? Which city has estimated, according to the U.S. Census, to have currently the largest population in 2026?
Okay. I would think because there's so many... You would think Vegas would be the answer, but I think it's a trick question. I'm going to go with Sacramento. I know it's not Oakland.
I would have guessed Sacramento, too. And I would have been wrong with Mike.
Just go with your gut, Mike. Vegas. Vegas, the largest of the three. Vegas, the largest.
You got me in two.
Sacramento, the second largest. And Oakland, actually, the smallest estimated population of those three cities for the 2026 year, according to the U.S. Census. Mike, that did not go as well as any of us thought it would.
Well, Jason's happy, though.
Jason is happy. He's ready to peak for the Tournament of Champions, though, too. I think
he's saving it.
He's
saving it. Mike, you got one.
The guy last week only had one entry, so
he
won.
All you need is one, and you got two. You got one question right, two of the possible four entries into the drawing for our Cousin Subs and Vortex Golf Prize Pack at the end of this week. Mike the Wedding DJ, especially without Jason here, always a pleasure. Our friend, thank you.
Love you guys, even you, Jason.
I love you guys.
I got a hunch that feeling's probably not mutual, but I could be wrong.
Scheduled to return to the show coming up next. Jason Wilde live in Green Bay. Matt LaFleur's press conference wrapping up by the hedges, which means that mandatory minicamp practice is about to get underway. Jason hosting the show live in Green Bay as the Packers get to their first minicamp practice of this summer. He is scheduled to return coming up next on Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Well, the Itoush back with you. Sounded like trivia. The contestant did not get two of the three questions right, meaning he has two of the possible four entries into this week's drawing. But we wish him the best. Meanwhile, Matt LaFleur addressing reporters outside the Don Hutson Center, very excited, as you might imagine, about getting Christian Watson's deal done and keeping him in the fold. Matt LaFleur saying how excited he was when he got the news. Tausch, what else is he going to say? I kind of think we overpaid him a little bit. Not sure that he's worth what we paid him.
No, I think these guys all are on the same page with guys that mm-hmm. they're going to pay big money to and pay. And I think they all realize that Christian Watson's a really good talent, and he makes this offense different. He puts a lot of pressure mm-hmm. on a defense, and to secure him and to know that he's going to be one of your guys for a long time, for at least 2 or 3 years. Again, he signed a 4-year deal, 5-year commitment. We don't know how that all shakes out. There's and this is always one of the things that I think is fun, is when the guys hear that, they celebrate, that you can kind of get a vibe of where someone's at within that locker room. And I'm guessing everybody in that locker room, even the receivers, are all looking at and then saying kudos and congrats to Christian Watson, because he's been through it. He's grinded through injuries. He's found a way to continue to be productive when he plays. And you want to see those guys get rewarded. It's a good story all in all.
Well, and I thought the phrase that stuck out to me, and I think to others, was when he said he embodies what we're all about. Tausch, you obviously, having played 11 years and frankly having been the kind of guy that I'm sure James Campen and Matt and Mike McCarthy and Mike Sherman would have said that about you as well. Like, look, you got to play, and you got to play at a high level. Like, it doesn't matter if you're a great teammate and a great leader and a great this and a great that, if you're a crummy player, right? But when you have someone who's like that and, as you just said, changes the dynamic of the offense when he's on the field, how valuable is that kind of guy to have who can make big plays and be productive when he's healthy, but more importantly, or as importantly, be that guy in the locker room? I always go back to, he was the only guy who publicly took a supportive stance of Romeo Doubs, which was the much harder position to take, right? I mean, there were a lot of people that were really ticked off at him for not coming to work that week leading into the LA game a couple of years ago. And Watson was the only one who stepped out in front and took the opposite position. And to me, that's leadership. When you think about guys who were like that, who were guys that you think of during your playing career, and how much value do those guys have beyond what they do in terms of actual production?
You want to get really good football players that care. And I think, you know, there's a big thing, the Packer, you know, Packer folks and Packer people, because all of this stuff is important. We all get money is what drives everything. I understand that. That is 100% true. But in respect to all of the other things, show up on time. Care about your teammates. Care about mm-hmm. what is going on. It can't just be, well, I got mine, and I'm going to go home. It has to mean more. And I think those are the guys that you want leading your locker room, because that rubs off on other players. That model is then set in stone for everybody else to live up to. And that's why you need your best players to work harder, to be in the building more, to be watching extra film, to do all those things, and to be bringing the energy and the right mojo into your locker room. Those are the guys that will stick around a little bit longer, that maybe otherwise would have been let go. Those guys set your culture and set the direction of where you want to be as a football team. And that's why coaches like them, they trust them, and that's why they stick around a little bit longer, is because they help you win. And obviously the Packers view Christian Watson that way.
If you have enough of those guys, can you absorb some guys that aren't that way?
Yes.
Like not everyone's going to be that way, right?
And so, you don't want everybody. By the way, you want to have, and I know when we talk about the 96 team, you want to have some characters, because nobody's going to watch a sitcom with just a bunch of fudder-dudders or a bunch of yes men and a bunch of just, you know, Opie Taylors. You need to have a Barney Fife. You need to have an Otis the Drunk. Like, if you're going to have a great show and you're going to have a great football team, you need to have some characters. I want to have guys that are a little bit loose and like, oh my gosh, what? It can't just be all about, it's got to, you got to have a little bit of flavor. Vanilla ice cream's great. I love salty cow. There's times you need to mix it in a little bit. It can't just be the same thing. Now, you want to have your core. You want to have your base. But, yes, you need to have characters. You need to have different personalities to bring it all together. And you have to have that group that knows when it's the right time to do it and when it's not. And that's where your core players usually kind of fill it in.
The Packers are done with their stretch inside the Don Hutson Center. They have adjourned to the Ray Nitschke practice field for their first of three scheduled. I don't think they're going to take the third day off and do a team bonding thing. I know they played laser tag earlier in the offseason program, but maybe they will. But I think we're going to have three practices this week. Matt LaFleur had said last week that he wanted us to mimic a typical in-season week where today, even though today's Tuesday, it's like a Wednesday during a regular week. So go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday as if they're Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Also, they play on five different weekdays out of seven. So he wants to do that as well, trying to get guys acclimated to different things. I want to talk a little bit about some of the other things he discussed, including I did ask him how exactly you practice finishing. And I'm still not sure I understand what exactly he views as practicing finishing, but he still thinks that's a very important thing to emphasize. We'll get into all that coming up. Want to remind you that if you haven't been listening to Bucks Plus on the Bucks Audio Network and Behind the Bucks presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. The one that's narrated by Charlie Behrens that's up right now is actually really interesting. In the 80s, I was a kid growing up in Milwaukee. I remember when the Bucks took on the Soviet Union and they had the tournament at the Mecca. Like, it's a pretty cool thing to listen to. And if you haven't tuned in, you can do that now on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, which you can find on bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, the ESPN Wisconsin app, or wherever you get your podcast. Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is our crew.
Thompson takes strike three, called. Fastball right in there, 103 miles an hour. What a finish for Jacob Mizorowski.
Madison's home of the Brewers, 100.5 ESPN.
Going through their first minicamp practice of what is scheduled to be three minicamp practices. Now, should we talk to Goody? We talked to LaFleur before this practice. Still doing this outside thing, which is an interesting deal. We got some construction going on Armed Forces Way again, which is nice. But I did, if there's one thing this offseason that I've been perplexed by, and you're the one who played in the NFL for 11 years, so I will defer to you. We've talked
Jonathan
all the time.
Jonathan Gannon's introductory press conference.
That was the delay there. Matt LaFleur did say the offense is ahead of the defense, which is what you would expect considering that one side of the ball is getting a new system and a new coordinator. But this idea of finishing games And LaFleur's brought it up a bunch, as you always have taught me, Tausch. If you hear players talking about it, you know that the messaging is getting through. I am here to tell you that that messaging has definitely gotten through, because I heard a lot of it in the locker room last Tuesday and Wednesday. Players talking about, yeah, we're focused on finishing. So the messaging is getting through. My question is, and this is the question I asked Matt LaFleur, how exactly do you practice finishing? Like, how do you, and he, you know, he kind of went into this thing about the mental, it's a mentality, and it's a, you know, every rep, you're finishing that rep. And then he said they're going to do a call it, move the ball period here today during this practice, which will be 11 on 11, where they, you know, it's kind of like a training camp practice where it'll function like it's not scripted. And then he said, really, in training camp, where we'll see more of this practicing finishing. Is this just, we know we sucked at it, so we need to say that we need to be better at it? I still don't think I understand what exactly you can do to get better at that specific thing, other than maybe have your closer enter Sandman back on the field and healthy to close out games the way he was doing for you the first 12 weeks.
It's pretty simple. You go about finishing every drill. You finish everything that you're doing and just continue to pound that mantra in. And if you know, I think one of the things you always look at is 2-minute drills. You can also do 4-minute drills. You finish every practice with a finishing drill, with something that will get in the mentality of, we're going to finish practice strong. It's not going to be a special teams where everybody's standing around, or you're going to look at it from a punch the ball out. You want to create turnovers. You do all those drills. Now you're going to focus, and I think make it competitive and make it where somebody wins and loses and there's a punishment with it. Just continue to pound into the guys' heads that you have to finish every drill. And these moments at the end of practice, I think the best way to do it is 4-minute offense, 2-minute where it's offense, defense, and you have a winner and a loser to it. I think that is one of the ways that you do it. There's also, if you're going to do special teams, making kicks. You have to block a kick. All of that is kind of just getting the mentality of, we have to get better. You always will. The goal of coaching is, when you're emphasizing something, you get those results. Because you can't, and that, to me, we saw how the Green Bay Packers finished the season. We saw how they finished the playoff game, and those things aren't acceptable. So you can't just sit there and say, it can't just be about words. It has to be about putting it out on, taking it from the paper and putting it on the field, and then letting those drills continue to pound into these guys' heads, so that when they're flashing the 4 sign up for fourth quarter and for finishing, it's that you get back to that muscle memory. That would be how I would describe it.
So it really is a mentality. Then do you feel like they lacked that mentality last year? Like, you know, I don't know, who do we blame for the way they finished that game against Cleveland early in the season? Right? Like, who's, like,
Matt LaFleur.
Jordan Love throws a pass he shouldn't have thrown.
You didn't trust that you could run the football and get a first down, and you didn't trust that your defense would hold up and make a play. You always want to put the gas down. You want to go, but Cleveland's offense stunk that day. You have your defense ready to go out. All they had to do is punt the football, shut it down, and you're going to win that football game. They didn't. So that also goes to coaching and how you approach it.
Right.
Last year, you just needed someone to make a play, get a first down. You can't go 3-and-out that many times in the second half. That puts, you know, everybody can say the defense gave up 25 points. Well, the defense continued to have to go out on the field. This is a complementary game. And for the offense to, you know, struggle as badly as it did in that half, obviously dictated how the defense was going to go about its business. And then they're getting tired. And then they're off. The Bears' offense gets into a rhythm and a flow, and it gets to be a lot harder to slow that momentum train down. Everybody has to hold up their end of the donkey on that, and when nobody does, that's when you collapse and you lose games. And so everybody has to share in it, because it's not just go pick up 2 first downs. It can also be, well, go make a play on defense. And that's why I always fought the overtime rules for so long, because it's not just, well, you know, it's not fair, it's not this. football is inherently a game where everybody needs to chip in and do their side of it. Some weeks it's going to be easier to do than others. It's a heck of a lot easier for the Packers defense to shut down the Cleveland Browns than it would be the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. And we saw that in, you know, back-to-back weeks where then Dallas goes, puts a bunch of points, and Green Bay's offense answers the bell. Now it ended up in a tie. That's the beauty of football. Understanding what is needed of you to do to win a game. It doesn't always need to be the prettiest. That's why I always say never apologize for winning, because it's blank and hard. And you have to figure out what your formula is that week. Every week stands on its own, and you hope that both sides of the football and special teams are strong, that all three will win. But the odds are your best needs to be better than theirs. And if that's the case, you win more football than you don't.
Josh Jacobs going through practice. Matt LaFleur spoke about him a little bit earlier, about just how he's been around the team. And last week, obviously, he made the comment about business as usual. He just continues to work. We still do not have any further information from the Brown County District Attorney's office on where that case stands. The running back's going through drills a little close by where I'm standing. And I just can't help the helicoptering, Tausch. They're doing a drill where they run toward Ben Sermons and then cut on a dime to get away from him like he's a tackler. And Marshawn Lloyd's foot slips on the turf. And immediately my first thought is, oh, God. But he's okay. He continues to go through that drill. But as Matt LaFleur talked about earlier, he will be on a modified schedule as they try to get him to get to a point where they can just let him loose. We'll see if he does 11 on 11 today. He did not do it in the first OTA we attended. He did do it last week in 11 on 11. So we'll see what kind of workload he has today in the first practice of minicamp. We'll have more during the 11 o'clock hour, including some interesting power rankings and Rob Domofsky's, Jesse, help me out with this. Player that is most worth watching during the the mini camp.
Most intriguing question about the team's practicing is what the NFL Nation reporters were asked. What's the most intriguing question about the teams you're observing?
We'll get to both those things during the 11 o'clock hour before we get to Wonelli. That's all still ahead. The 11 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes, so stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.